It was her conviction about God that shaped the way she lived her life. Because she let him show what let because she let he let her know who he was. Are y'all here with me? Because let me show you what kind of God she served. She knew that God, the God of Israel, was real. How many of y'all know God is real? But the Bible, but the people of Syria didn't serve the Lord God Almighty. They served a pagan god. And according to verse 18, they worshiped a false god by the name of Rimmon, who was called the storm god. They thought Rimmon had the power to control the weather pattern, the crops, and the stones. But this young lady knew the God of creation. She knew the God who was able to deliver his people from slavery. She knew the God who was able to display his power in countless ways. She knew God Almighty that made her different and made her life count. She knew that God had the power to heal and that God alone was worthy to be worshiped. Because by her mentioning God to her mistress, she was revealing her dedication to God of Israel. Now she may have been a captive in a pagan country, but her heart was still belonged to the Lord God Jehovah. My brothers and sisters, her faith in God is a testimony to us. How is this? Because our conviction about God and his word should determine how we live. Meaning that we believe that God is truly God and the Bible is truly his word, it should affect the way we live. Because let's be honest, we live in a world that places little emphasis on conviction. But the word conviction simply means to be convinced. Because when we are convinced about something, it's hard to change our minds. When we are convinced about something, it actually affects the way we act. If I'm convicted that and convinced that same-sex marriage is wrong, and I am, you can't do nothing to change my mind. If I'm convinced that Jesus is Lord and nobody can be saved other than through him, and I am, you can't change my mind about it. If I'm convinced that the Bible is the word of God and I am, it will order my life, then you can't change my mind. Because as people of God, we are to be governed by biblical convictions. In other words, we should base what we believe to be right or wrong on the word of God. Because my brothers and sisters, we shouldn't judge things just by our opinions. I heard the man say the other night, say our opinion is just like everybody got a nose. And everybody got an opinion, meaning everybody got a nose, everybody got an opinion. We should also base our doctrinal convictions on the Bible, or what the Bible says, because far too long the people of God have lived by emotions and preferences, and we have allowed our...
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
You have your Bible with you. Please turn to the book of St. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 10 and verse 11. The book is St. Luke chapter 2. I have so much to share, so I'm going to have to kind of summarize it. Maybe I can put it in a book. Sometimes you can cover everything. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and verse 11. If you find it, say amen. Amen. The word of God says, "The angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." J-O-Y. He said, "These tidings of great joy shall be for all people, not some. Everybody is included." What is the good tidings? He said, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David, our Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Please remain standing as we pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for the word of God. Thank you, O God, for the season of Christmas. Thank you for your presence in this house. Holy Spirit, we need to hear from heaven. Reveal yourself to us even more clearer than we know before. Glorify yourself in this house. Speak to our heart. Touch our spirit man. Lord, I need your strength to preach, to proclaim, to explain your word. Anoint this mouth, anoint this tongue for your glory. We ask for more of you and less of us. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion this morning is titled, "The Gifts of Christmas, Part 1. And the focus will be on joy. J-O-Y. So I began to teach a series this morning. And the first part of that series, which I call the gifts of Christmas, the focus will be on the gift of joy. Please permit me to give you a quick background to this subject matter. This past Friday, my wife and I, we were invited to a Christmas party in this church. It was held by a ministry called the Theater Ministry, the Movie Theater Ministry. And bless God, we were there to honor their invitation. They had good food, they had good fellowship, and everybody was enjoying themselves. But all of a sudden, after all the eating, the leader of that ministry, Sister Deborah Ashley, decided to be giving everybody gifts. I said, "Man, I like this." So I'm waiting to get something. Amen. Then I was watching what everybody was getting. You know. That's another sermon for preachers. Don't be fooled. Even when they bow their head, they're watching. Even Jesus in the church, he was watching everybody giving. I noticed two women were giving a plaque. And on that plaque, it says joy. I didn't see anything. I'm just minding my own business. And then I was waiting for my turn. I have to admit, they gave me a bigger bag. I guess because I'm pastor, or maybe I'm more good looking than the rest. I don't know. And sure enough, I opened my gift, and there was also a big plaque, and it says joy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that moment, this topic I'm preaching on. He said, son of man, have you noticed God gave many gifts during Christmas? And one of those gifts is joy. Now you see the background for this psalm. And right there at the table with them, I made an announcement to everyone. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. I said, come Sunday morning, I'm going to be teaching on joy. So they knew what you just finding out. Now, so you know exactly what happened and how we got there. Ladies and gentlemen, please notice that everybody in this world wants joy. I've never met anyone that says, I just want to have a bad day all my life. Everybody wants joy, but the problem is that we don't know how to get it. So I just want to spend some time to tell you, to share with you, what is this thing called joy? How do you get joy? And how do you protect your joy? See how simple my assignment is? Because we don't know much about joy, many of us, we have been seeking our joy in the wrong places. Am I right about it? Some seek their joy in drugs. Some seek their joy in sex. You'll be amazed how many people seek their joy just in various habits, hoping that they will find joy. Some will even say, I believe I'll be happy, I'll be joyful if I can find the love of my life. Others will say, if God will just enable me to achieve so much during my lifetime, I will be so joyful. There are others that say, I just want plenty of money, then I will consider myself blessed and I'll be joyful. There are others who say, I just want to be able to climb the corporate ladders. I want to be head of this and president of that. I want to be CEO. And then I will be joyful. There are others that say, look, I'm going to be so happy and so joyful if I become famous. I just want to be known like Elvis Presley, like Michael Jordan, Mike Jackson, or whatever. I want to be famous like Taylor Swift. Then there are some others who are humble. They say, my joy will be fulfilled if God will just bless me with a good family. But my brothers, my sisters, I hate to blow your bubble. There's a man by the name Solomon who had all of that, plus more. And he confessed at the end of the day, he didn't find joy. In fact, he said, all of that on your list, they're just vanity. Am I still in the book? And if you be honest, you will see that Solomon is telling the truth. Having plenty of money will not bring you joy. Getting plenty of education, as much as I promote success, education in this house, that will not bring you joy. Being famous, even having a family, none of that will bring you joy. So, brother pastor, how then can we find joy? Well, let me first warn all of us that there is an imposter out there. And this imposter is fake joy. Unfortunately, many of us have bought into it. It looks real from the outside, but it's really fake. I've seen it with many of you, to be honest with you. See, for example, you went to the mall just to see what's on the sale rack. But before you leave, you get into other racks and you buy because you're saying to yourself, I deserve this. What you got will not bring you joy. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people, some of you here, you've been to the nail shop. You went there to get a full set. Polish chain. Why? Because you think they just come up with some popping colors. You don't even have the money, but you did it anyway because you think you deserve. My brothers and my sisters, I've seen this imposter of joy walk with many of you and talk with you and hang out with you. We all busy trying to be like the Jonas's. Some of you, you even get into relationship and you walk out because in your mind you think the grass is greener on the other side. Am I telling the truth this morning? I even seen folks deal with this fake, this imposter in the house of God. That's why when you see leadership make a decision about something, you don't like it, you just quit. Because we are all deceived by this imposter. This imposter had many of you online looking at other people's page, wishing that you had the same kind of life that you see on social media, wishing that you drive the same kind of car. You see their posting, you see their pictures, but what you don't know, a lot of what you're seeing is fake. The imposter will make you drive a car that is more expensive than the apartment you live. Everybody is seeking joy, but they're seeking joy in the wrong places. By now, I'm sure you can guess what this imposter is. It's called happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, we are busy chasing happiness, but God wants to give you joy. There's a difference between the two. One is fake, one is real. Please take note, there's a difference between joy and happiness. In the passage I read to you, the angels are bringing you good tidings of great happiness? No. I bring you good tidings of great joy. So let me first help your understanding with this thing called happiness, so you know exactly the difference between the two. Happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is an emotional state characterized by feelings of satisfaction, feelings of contentment, feelings of fulfillment. But notice what I said, it's just a feeling. Happiness is positive emotion or feeling that provide a person satisfaction. But again, I will remind you, it's just a feeling. Is only temporary. Happiness is what will tell you and me, you deserve this. You go buy a dress you can't even afford because you think you deserve it. And many times, whatever we are doing, whether it's in social media, whether it's in our private lives or personal life, many times we do things despite what God said. Despite what the word of God says. I wish I have time to explain to you there are many people who are married, whose marriage end in divorce simply because one of them is so much consumed by pursuit of happiness. I don't mind telling you that there are many people who are locked up in prison today just because they are pursuing happiness. And you need to know, many people have lost their life, literally dead, because they are pursuing what? Happiness. Many people have lost their job. Many people lost their career. Many people lost their business because they are pursuing this imposter called happiness. What is my message to you? Happiness often masquerades itself as joy, but it's not joy. Happiness and joy, they are totally different things, different goal, different outcome. And happiness is based on things that are happening. Happiness is external, but joy is internal. The Bible says, all you're getting, get understanding. Happiness comes from here, but joy comes from the Lord. That's why the old folks will say, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. But guess what? The world cannot take it away. When it comes to joy, only God can give you a major joy. Are you still here this morning? Unfortunately, many Christians don't even know that their God is a giver of joy. You'll be amazed how many of us connected God with bad things. Many people see God as a mean, hateful, angry, cruel God. Brother Pastor, how you know that? Just notice when bad things happen. They say God did it. I remember growing up in rural Africa, sometimes there's lightning, and mama will say, run to the house, because God is about to strike somebody. Even here in Louisiana, when there's hurricane, it's like God is waiting just to pull the trigger and just kill a bunch of people. But really, if you know anything about God, God is a good God. Do I have an amen to that? A lot of what we're learning, what we're seeing on social media, is not true. You're looking at everybody else's picture. You're looking at their posting. You're looking at their lies. And some of you spend hours. They're telling you, they're showing you picture. They are at the beach. And you're just looking at sandbag behind their house. Fake stuff. They will tell you they're in another location, but they're right here in Alexandria with you. They will show you pictures. An average sister will show you a picture with her holding somebody's hand. They never show you the full picture of the somebody. He's holding the hand of his father, her father, you know. They just want somebody to think, I got me a man. You got a man, all right, but that's your daddy. A lot of what we are hanging on, a lot of what we are chasing is fake. My message to you is that there is something called real joy. And it will trump happiness any day. You can look at somebody's eye and you can tell he or she has got joy. When you receive joy, you don't have to fall for all the lies on social media. My message to you this morning is that joy, the gift of joy, if you have it, you have something that nobody can take away from you. So I'm not saying don't pursue happiness, but I'm saying don't allow your happiness to trump your joy. The real deal, ladies and gentlemen, is what happened at Christmas. The angel said, I bring you tidings of great joy. Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior called Christ. So if you're here this morning, you may be driving a nice car. You may have a pretty dog. You may have money or whatever you're chasing, but if you don't have Jesus, you're missing on joy. Anything that will take away your covenant with God is fake. Anything that will take away your worship is fake. So while I'm saying, it's okay to pursue happiness, But happiness is deceptive. Are you listening to me? In fact, I will go further to say happiness can be dangerous. Why? Because happiness is only temporary. It's like you're holding on to smoke. And if you're not careful, even while that smoke expires and leave your hand, you have to find yourself constantly trying to do the same thing over and over again to regain your happiness. But when you have the joy of the Lord, my brothers, my sisters, your life will never be the same. Joy, brothers and sisters, is a requirement for divine intervention in your life. So it's not something that you can ignore. Just being happy is not enough for you and me. Joy is just as important as your prayer. Wow. Are you listening to me? Joy is just as important as your worship. Joy is just as important as your faith in God. In fact, I will go further to tell you as a theologian, joy is a principal requirement for you to experience God.
Wow, sir.
So please don't let this Christmas season get away without you making Jesus your Lord and your Savior. Joy is so important that Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Keep in mind, this was a brother who is locked up in jail. And yet, he's full of joy. When you have this thing called joy, your situation will not dominate you. Your circumstance will not have the best of you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you enter into diverse temptation, Pastor James, in James chapter 1, verse number 2, he said, count it all joy. Joy is such a deep thing that when everybody is freaking out in life, you will not be tripping with them because you have joy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Have you noticed there are people who are going through in life, but because they have joy, they are still happy? Have you noticed there are people who are going through trials and tribulation, but because they have joy, they have peace even in the midst of storms? So you need this thing called joy. That's what Paul and Silas had when they were locked up in Philippian jail. Their hands are tied. Their feet were shackled. But the Bible says at midnight, they were still singing and they were shouting. You know why? Because they had joy. Some of you are here today. If you're going to be honest with God, you can tell that you don't have joy. I'm just appealing to you. I'm taking my time. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. That you will say, I want to receive that gift of joy. He said, I bring you good tidings. This tidings of great joy. What is the good news? What is the tiding? Jesus, the Savior of this world, is coming your way. My brothers, my sisters, please notice that if you have joy, it will do three things for you. How many things?
Three.
Number one, if you have this gift of joy, it will give you strength. And many of you under the sound of my voice now, you know in your knowing, as you're here this morning, you need strength. Some of you at home, you're listening to me, but deep within you, you know. If there's one thing you need today, you need strength. How did I know that joy will bring you strength? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your what? So in a few minutes, I'm going to open the door of the church. I'm just a mailman. I'm just a messenger. But you have to be honest with the Holy Spirit. If you're here today, deep within you, you know you need joy. You need strength. Please, don't hesitate to come. I want all of us to declare this morning and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, even the way you said it, it tells me you don't have a revelation of what this subject is. Let's try again. With your own mouth. People ask me all the time, how do you do all that you do? I just told you my answer. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, open your mouth, prophesy over your own life and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen, somebody. So what is the message? There is a way out of your circumstance. There is a way out of your situation. Joy is one gift that will give you strength. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth be told, too many people are sad today. Too many people are frustrated. I hear the Holy Spirit say, heaven is offering you and me joy. Another thing that this gift of joy will do for you is that it produces health and vitality. Are you listening to me? Sometimes physically you're weak, but if you have joy in your soul, while everybody is saying things are going down, the Bible says you're going to be speaking, things are going up. In the midst of crisis, you're going to be seeing opportunity. One thing that joy does is that it gives you and me health and vitality. Even doctors, they are amazed sometimes. They will have people diagnosed with serious health problems. Sometimes they will send people home. They will say, you only have a few days left. I was talking to one of my members like that. He said, Pastor, I want to thank you. You may not know I'm listening, but when my father got sick, the words of your teaching came in my spirit. And I told my own father, That's Brother Ariel Davis, because some of you are Sadducees and Pharisees. Ariel Davis, but believe nothing. I say, many times, Pastor, as I hear you say, if God did it before, he can do it again. And he ministered to his own father. He said, Daddy, you remember so years ago when the doctor said you only have a few weeks. But now it's been years. You are still here. If God did it before, my fathers told me, my pastor told me, he can do it again. Joy, a spirit of joy, will give you health and vitality. While everybody is pacing the floor, because you got joy, you will still be standing. I'm saying to you, therefore, if you allow your joy to dry up, you'll be like a tree that is cursed. I wish I have time to explain that to you. Jesus came to a tree because that tree is cursed. I'm trying to help somebody here. Joy will keep you going. While everybody is feeling sorry for you, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Joy is also responsible, number three, for extraordinary fruitfulness. When you get a chance, read the book of Psalm 67. Bible says in verse 3, say, let the people praise God. Let the people be joyful. Let all the earth praise God. He said, then, not before then the earth will yield its increase. Many people are not experiencing great move of God because they are not joyful. Have you ever watched the choir singing? Not my choir, they're the best. Just go to other churches and watch the choir. Yes, I said it. Somebody needs to tell the truth. Everybody's singing the same song, but you can see those who have a spirit of joy. Oh, everybody singing the same song, and some of them would look like they're in a funeral. But there are other people, you can see that joy, you can see that excitement, because when they look back over their own life, it's more than a song. They have a spirit of joy. Are you all still here this morning? Then let me show you how you're going to protect that joy. Not only am I inviting you to make sure you receive that spirit of joy, but you need to know anything you obtain must be maintained. Are you listening to me? Many Christians had joy, but they failed to maintain what they obtained. Anything that you possess must be protected. If you don't believe me, why you think all these married women, they look funny at you when you look at their husband? Because they're trying to protect what they possess. See, the Bible is not complicated. I know you all want some big Greek and Hebrews. Sometimes the only time that you can mess with any man is when the wife is not there. Look at all the wives. Don't bow your head now. Because I'm telling the truth. There's a spiritual principle. What that woman is doing is trying to maintain what she obtained. What that woman is doing is trying to protect what she possesses. She will bite any witch. Are you listening to me? You may think they don't know how to fight. Don't be fooled by their tight, whatever. I'm trying to help somebody. So how? I done lost church people. So how do you protect your joy? Because the pastor here, you got to maintain what you obtain. The Bible is so amazing. You remember the wise men during Christmas? Yes, sir. Notice, don't just buy stories. It's revelation. The Bible is mystery. What pastors do, you know, they say, how can they hear without a preacher? I don't need to tell you a story. You already know the story. The question is, what is the revelation? What is the mystery behind the story? Those people travel far from the east to come and see Jesus. Am I right about it? The revelation there, number one way to maintain your joy, you must constantly seek the presence of God.
Come on, sir.
The reason why many of you are struggling, you don't have joy, you become vulnerable, you become exposed to enemy attack, you've allowed technology, you rather watch pastor preach rather than to be in the house in the presence of God. Are you listening to me? I went to school like you all. I know the importance of technology and all of that. But there is no substitute for you to get up Sunday morning, dress yourself up. I don't care if you have to drive 20 miles, 30 miles. The Bible said the Jews are required, not suggestion, required to show up at Jerusalem in the presence of God at least once a year. There's something about being in the presence of God. I thank you for watching me on television. Everywhere I go, they say, oh, I'm watching you. You said this, you said that. Thank you. Thank God for you. But the Bible says, don't forsake. I'm teaching you how to maintain your joy. Seek the presence of God. Say, I got it. Number two, for you to maintain your joy. Not only are the wise men came to his presence, they let everybody know we have traveled for days to be in the presence of this newborn baby. But when they got to his presence, they worshiped. Am I still in the book? One way you can maintain your joy.
Help me, Doc.
You have to cultivate a spirit of worship. You know what is wrong with America today? Hey, don't turn me up. I told you I'm saint. See, we are losing our worship. Are you listening to me? We have become so sophisticated. Instead of us worshiping God, now we just let the choir sing to us. That's right, man. We allow the worship team to enter us. If you don't believe me, ask some of your music ministers here. They've traveled to other countries. They've been to where your pastor came from. They will tell you when you come to our church, the whole church is on fire. Everybody worshiping God. Totally different. I'm trying to help you. Don't let Western civilization rob you of your joy. Those wise men came and they worship. Thank you, ma'am. They worship. They worship. They sought his presence. They worship him. I guess they want me to hurry up. Let me give you more revelation. If you want to maintain your joy, I don't care the name of your church. I don't care how long you've been saved. That don't mean anything. Whatever you obtain, you must maintain. Another thing you have to do, you have to confront your Herod. Herod, when he heard about this little boy who is going to be the king of the Jews, he was threatened. He wanted to kill every baby in the neighborhood. And he did kill them. But notice, Jesus did not just sit there to be killed. Am I helping somebody? God told mama and daddy, get your behind, what's the Christian? Get out of town. There are some Herod in your life that you have to confront. There are some habits, help me Holy Spirit, that is robbing you of your joy. You have to confront those Herod. Some of those Herod has the same last name as you. Some of those Herod lives in the same house. I know you want to get along with everybody. But if Herod find you, if you don't confront Herod, Herod will kill your joy. Jesus, the Bible says, is the joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. What is that joy? Unto us is born this day a Savior. I told you earlier, the real joy is having Jesus in your life. But Herod will kill that joy if given a chance. Every one of us from the pulpit, don't let this jacket, as you see, I saw Denzel Washington the other day, and I saw him wear all black. I said, me too. I'll be keeping it real, right? But don't let all this fancy look and beautiful deodorant, cologne fly all over the building, don't let them fool you. There are errors in your life, in my life. You got to confront them. Even if it means that you get out of town. Not everybody around you is for you. Try to help somebody. Yes, they will smile in your face. Reverend, but in a flash, that's why Jesus said they will call you Hosanna today, tomorrow they will say crucify. You got to deal with your hero. Let me say this, free tip, I see you, brother. When I say get in the presence of God, it's more than just coming to church. First, I'm saying to those of you that say, I don't have to be there. I'm a member, I send my money. I watch it on the, you are missing something. Is it just me? Have you ever been in a situation where Big Mama will say, I want everybody in the house? When Big Mama say, I want everybody, you can't say, well, Mama put me on. Oh, speakerphone. I never will forget a Big Mama in Africa. Just one day, Big Mama said, I want to see all my children in America. I said, Big Mama, it will cost a fortune to bring all these bambino. Do you think Big Mama give up? See God as your Big Mama. When God said, come, enter his gate, enter his court, be thankful unto him, bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. You know why? The Lord has been good to you. Am I right about it? You can't be watching remote control and say, hey, let me pause, let me get some boot, and I'll come back and catch up with Ray. Get in the presence of God. You got time for everything. You attend your sorority meetings. You attend your family reunion. Why can't you show up in the presence of Almighty God? Somebody needs to tell the truth. And you know something else? You can be present and not be present. God is my witness. I was talking to my homegirl, Minister Shirley William, one day. I said, you know why I like you? See, I mess with her all the time. You know? I said, I like your spirit of worship. You can show up at Big Mama's house. And Big Mama is in the living room. But you can be in the same building, but you in the courtyard somewhere. Or you are in the kitchen somewhere. You can be there. Big Mama don't even know you are there. When you say present, you got to have an encounter with Big Mama. Big Mama wants to know, how are you doing? How are your children? How are you feeling? Is everything all right? How dare many of you come to the house of God, you just sit down like a piece of log. You didn't say amen. You didn't clap your hand. You can dance. You can shout. The praise worship team had to do all the lifting. And then you say, Pastor, the whole year has gone. I didn't see any blessing. I'll tell you why. You came to the house. You were present, but you were not present. I got to stop. Everybody stand. I see. They won't let me. I got a story to tell. If you're here this morning, you say, Lord, increase my joy. That's what this invitation is about. I don't know about you. That's all that keeps me going. All around me is nothing but bad news. I hate to tell you this. Folks in Africa, bad news. They're watching.